Ain't nothing better than this. Yeah, ain't nothing better than this.
The recording has started.
Recording has started.
What's up, y'all?
Recording has started.
What up, y'all? Another episode of Mangelo. We out here in Vegas, baby. We living it up. It's, what time is it? 9:44 a.m. And this is the start of...
It's 9:44 a.m. in Las Vegas, Nevada. Today's highs are 57 and a lows of 33.
This is going to be the first...
That was a really... Pause for a really great radio voice.
Yeah, baby, you did good.
Was that not really... Come on,
really good voice.
Guys.
I'm with you. But this is the start of a road trip driving all the way to Nashville that we're going to be doing. And this was the first stop. We stayed here for 3 days, and we're doing no kind of schedule. We're just doing our thing, going whichever the way the wind blows. And I'm so excited. We still got a long way to go.
We did add an extra day here in Las Vegas.
Yes. Tell them why we added another day.
Because I got an audition that was a live Zoom audition with producers of a pilot. For those who don't know what a pilot is, that is the very first episode of a new TV show that will hopefully get picked up and go on air, go on TV. A lot of pilots don't make it to TV. They just get filmed and then disappear. So anyways, it's pilot season. So I got a lot of auditions coming to my inbox. And this one was with producers live on Zoom, as opposed to just filming myself and sending in the tape.
Which is a good thing, because once you get to producers, it's usually the second or third step you get.
Yeah, so once you're with producers, the next step is you test for the role and either book it or don't. So we were supposed to be on the road. My appointment was 5:30 p.m. And we're like, well, if we start driving, we're not guaranteeing that we'll be at our next hotel by 5:30 to jump on this audition. So we stayed here an extra day just so I could do this audition at 5:30. So I spent the whole day learning my lines, and at 5:30 got on Zoom and waited.
For a freaking hour.
And waited for over an hour.
Oh, my God.
And I'm texting my managers and my agents like, hey, am I on the right Zoom link? Because I've just been waiting in like Zoom wait room abyss and nobody's come to me. I didn't audition until 7:30 p.m. that night. And I did good. I did it one time and they're like, that was so funny. Thank you. And I'm like, oh my God, this took me 43 seconds.
The whole time she's waiting, I'm getting upset. Yeah. I'm getting mad. I'm getting agitated because I don't like, obviously... She stayed in, she stayed in all day to work on this audition, the past 2 days. And I've been out just, you know, exploring Vegas by myself. And me seeing the work that she's doing, I'm getting upset because I'm just like, man, she's putting in work. We changed our plans. You know, we spent extra money just to be here for this audition. And... she's waiting for an hour and a half to get on.
So I'm waiting patiently at the computer, and then I hear Manny from the bed over there going, what the F, babe? Like, so mad. You're still waiting? What the F? And I was like, babe, stop sending me your negative energy right now. I'm trying to stay positive about this. And he's like, sorry, I'm getting upset for you.
Look, and this brings the point of what I want to talk about. You know, I think... there are times in relationships where things don't always go the way you want them to go, and you gotta throw audibles out. You know, we were supposed to leave at a certain time, we didn't. We ended up staying, spending extra money because my queen is chasing the dream. And I know it's a figurative lesson that I'm trying to learn, but I think in life there are going to be times when you're going to have to make sacrifices for things that the other person wants that wasn't a part of your plan. It's going to make you maybe spend a little extra time, maybe spend a little extra money, maybe spend a little extra focus, but it's all in the name of the other person trying to accomplish what it is that they're going for.
And here's the thing. I didn't even want to stay and do it. I was like, it's at 5:30, and Manny was like, well, what? Oh, that's Bonzo saying hello. Manny was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, let's just go. I won't be able to do it. I'll just see if they could see me at another time. And if not, then we just won't do it. And Manny was the one that was like, what? No, like, you're going to give up an opportunity to meet with producers because you don't want to change your plans. And in my mind, I was like, we just started this trip and we're already changing our plans. I'm the one in the relationship that's not really good with, like, throwing a wrench in things and, like, switching things up last second. I'm like, nope, I had plans. Sorry, I'm robot. This is how things work. But we did it, and I'm glad we did. And there's been a lot going on, just different things, and anxiety has definitely been infiltrating my mind and my body, and just lots of moving parts in our lives right now. Lots of things that don't have answers but are up in the air. And
are you speaking very vague on purpose?
Yeah, I am.
I don't know why.
Well, okay. So I don't know why I was doing that.
Yeah, I don't know either. You're like saying a whole bunch of figurative stuff.
I auditioned for this movie, this really big movie, and I'm waiting to hear if I book it. And I have been waiting for over a month now. If I book this movie, all of my plans for the rest of the year change. And if I don't book this movie, then I go back on the road and do some stand-up shows, which is going to be great because I'm writing new material. But all of that could go away if I book this movie, and I just don't know what's going to happen. So that is something I'm not good at, being in limbo. But at the same time, when we first moved out of our house, and I was talking on Instagram, if you guys follow me on Instagram, and I did a couple Instagram lives where I was talking about, we are moving into a season of surrendering my comfort and security. We could have sold our home and jumped right into the next home, but instead we moved into limbo for 2 months, staying in an Airbnb. And I was aware that this next season we were jumping into was kind of a season of limbo. It was a season of not having a sense of security, a sense of stability, a sense of this is our plan and this is what's going to happen. Everything is up in the air. And that is something that is stretching me and growing me. And while I'm stretching and growing, anxiety comes in, and it starts welling up inside. And I was on FaceTime with my friend the other day, and I can feel it when it just needs to burst. And finally it burst, and I just kind of had a breakdown moment, but it felt so good afterwards, after I like got all the anxiety out in the form of tears and just talking it out with my friend. And I really felt a lot better afterwards. I felt relieved, and I felt capable, because once the anxiety sets in, then I don't want to do anything. I'm like, I don't want this audition. I don't want that audition. Forget it. I don't want to do this. I was even considering maybe I should just fly home and just be home so I can have like a sense of security. Let me just fly home. But that is anxiety speaking. That's my anxiety talking, wanting to like bow out and be like, forget it. I don't want to do anything. But then that's such dangerous ground, because that's when you let your anxiety keep you stuck. And there are people in that situation that are stuck in their home, that are stuck in a job they don't want, or not attempting their dream because anxiety keeps them locked in. And I didn't want that to happen in my life. So I was very grateful that I had a friend to burst open to and walk it out, talk it out, and pick my bootstraps back up and be like, okay, no, and then flip the switch and thank the anxiety. And I started to thank my anxiety for showing me that I am talented and that I am gifted, so much so that I have all these opportunities coming my way, that I have all these auditions coming my way. So what felt overwhelming, like, oh, I have to do this audition, I have to memorize these lines, I have to memorize these lines, I have to do it by 5:30, I have to do this and that. And it's like, no, actually, thank you, anxiety, for reminding me that I'm talented, so much so that I have all of these opportunities on my plate. So thank you. And just flipping the script on my relationship with anxiety.
Yeah, that's beautiful, babe. That's a lot of self-reflecting. Yeah. And I love that, because I get to be a part of it all. And you helped me this weekend because I did some self-reflecting. I learned two things this weekend. One, and I'm staring at the camera because we got to stare at the camera when we talk, babe.
Oh, I thought,
One thing I learned.
I thought we talked to each other.
We do. We talk to each other and then we stare at the camera too.
Okay.
Just so that they can see us. One thing I learned was my babe called me out because I was answering somebody on Instagram in a way that seemed offensive. And on the Knights page, I don't really, you know, the whole idea is people get their own voice. They're able to express how they feel, even if they disagree with what we say. And so if I come off sounding defensive, it's not a good thing. So I went back, deleted my comments, and it's always tough to be corrected, you know? I don't like being corrected, but at the same time I do, because correction leads to wisdom. So I'm grateful that you did that. So I am learning that when you offer up something like our podcast, A Nights at the Round Table, and the entire thing is based on everybody having a voice, then you have to be okay with the voices that disagree with you as well as people that agree with you. Because the whole point of this thing is to open space for people who may have differing opinions, maybe living different kind of lives. And so it really did kind of put me in check and like, hey man, this is an open space, even for people who don't agree with you, who may not like you or whatever. And that's cool. So I need to extend that same respect that I would hope people extend to me. So that's something that I learned, which is difficult, because you want to make sure, you know, anybody who doesn't get what you're doing or who has a negative thing to say about what you're doing, you want to come back at them and say something. You want to defend yourself. But it's just not necessary all the time. And then the second thing was, when I was out at the outlet shopping, I heard my boy on the radio, and he's kind of like blown up. And it's this dude that at one point, you know, I was helping him on his career, and then all of a sudden he blows up and he's just massive right now. Not a household name, but he's massive. And I laughed because I came home and I was like, babe, sometimes you just got to be okay with the fact that there are people that do it better than you do. And it wasn't, I don't know if it was a lesson that I needed to learn, but you know, there are times where you're doing stuff and you put your effort into something and you want to be great at it, right? And you think you're good, you think you're doing stuff that's good, but you realize, oh, there's other people that are passing me, right? And as Christians, we want to say stuff like, well, this is, you know, but it's okay because God's will for my life and yada, yada, yada. And I believe that stuff, I do. But then there's also times to just admit there are people that are more talented, smarter, and just better at what you do than you. And there was something humbling in that, because instead of looking at somebody and being angry or judgmental or jealous or any of that stuff, sometimes it's just like, this person is just better than me. They're just better. The dude could just rap better than me. And that's just it. It's like there's no like
there's
secret.
Always someone better.
And exactly. But I think there's times where I just want to, I don't know, nurse my ego and just make excuses. Mm-hmm. But that day I was like, no, I'm listening to this person and I'm like, this dude is dope. He is for sure a better rapper than I am. And it kind of felt freeing to say that, because it's like, don't compare yourself to people who are just maybe better. Well,
don't compare yourself, period.
At but all.
Also, when you are falling into that comparing, being honest with yourself.
It's good to be honest with yourself.
This person, yeah, they're way more talented than me.
Like sometimes I look at Michael Jordan and I'm like, man, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, not the other day, this morning. I was thinking of his son who went to UCF to play basketball. And his son is not Jordan. He has the last name, but he's not Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. And I thought about his son and how he walks around and there's probably not a day in his life that goes by that he does not see his dad on somebody's clothes.
Wow.
That Jordan sign, mm-hmm, on somebody's clothes or on their shoes. And he has to think, that's my dad. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my dad, right? And I feel like there's a sense of pride there, because mm-hmm, who else gets to say that? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the kids or the owner of Nike. Like, anytime they see a swoosh, they're like, It's my dad. Mm-hmm. You know? But I believe I was trying to channel his emotion and like thinking, I want to be like my dad. I want to be like my dad. I want to be great like my dad. And there's a difference between wanting and then doing. I could want to be Jordan all day long, but do I really want to put in the Jordan work? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do you really want to do what these people that you may envy or idolize do? Like, do you really, really want their life? And when I think about it, the more I think about it, when I start comparing myself to people, 9 times out of 10, I don't want their life. Mm-hmm. I don't. And Sinbad said it once. He's like, you just want their money. Mm-hmm. You don't want their life. You just want their money.
That's true.
You just want to skip the hard work and just get their money.
I want Kevin Hart money. I don't want Kevin Hart life.
That guy
is so hardworking. I do not envy that hard work. I'm like, you go on with your bad self. Enjoy your millions upon millions from your work. I will enjoy
it. I know. I follow Mark Wahlberg, and that fool just posted today, 2:30 a.m. club, work hard, be purposed. This fool's up at 2:30 with 6 other people.
Hey, you.
And
nah.
Here I am being like, you know what? It's hard to get muscles at 40, you know? And this fool is like shredded at 40-something, just doing the work. And I'm here like, no, guys, I don't think I want to be. It's just too hard. No, Mark Warb, he works harder than me and he wants it more than me, period. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And don't get us wrong. We work hard. But there's like being honest with yourself about you don't want their life. You want their money or you want their whatever. But
I think it's more so being honest.
That hard work.
I think it's more honest with your limitations. Be honest with your limitations. Be honest with the drive that you have, the work ethic. Just be honest with yourself.
Oh, my God. I am well aware that my capacity is not that of a Kevin Hart. I can't. My multitasking skills are below average. And
well, just your anxiety levels, you know.
I know,
three things on your plate and you're feeling the weight of it, and that's tough. It's not everybody's built like that, but it's better to just acknowledge,
how did I get here
how did you get where
to this place in life? Like, I don't think I always had anxiety. I don't know what it is.
I had it when I was touring. I used to always think the people were they didn't want to see me sing. Even though they're hiring me, they're paying me to come out, I always used to think, man, they're not going to want to hear me sing. They don't want to hear what I have to say. And I would feel that all the way until I hit the stage. And then when I hit the stage, I would come alive. But I would hate getting on the plane. I hated it. So weird. But I'm grateful I did it.
Yep. Grateful.
I'm grateful that you do it.
Thanks, lover.
I love you, queen.
Love you, lover.
Well, we're signing out from the Venetian in Vegas. Now we're headed to Sedona. We're going to drop Mandela on every city that we're at, talking about the things that we've learned during our brief stay at each of these cities. And we're uber grateful that you guys are going to come along for the ride. So we love you guys. This is Mandela signing out. 10-4.